Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Cafe. My name is Calvin, an author, and Kutumi Lau Singh, and coming to you from Sydney, Australia. This is a little space we create once a month for you to take a little time out from everyday life to come and just be with you in a beautiful and inviting space. I normally have Kutumi Lau Singh, Ascended Master and Celestial Comedian, joins me to share a message and to take us into experience. But today he's having a rest, and I've got a special human guest, Rupert Davis, joining us soon. Now, been tuning in before might notice that this show today could sound a bit different. I'm quite excited. Blog Talk Radio has had a wonderful upgrade to its technology, and they've allowed me to upgrade my studio to their new hi-fi technology. I hope it's all coming okay, and it's feeling good so far with me. So let's begin with taking some time for some conscious breathing to really create this space for us all together, for you to come to soul, that beautiful place of balance where we connect with our feelings, where mind can come into balance. That beautiful simplicity. Just feeling the rhythm of your breath, moving in and out of your body, and just come into that beautiful, gentle space. Of your feelings. Always invites us in a beautiful that we're coming in to sit down in. To rest and relax. Where every part of ourself is welcome and comfortable and being nurtured. Wonderful. Thank you. Now, apparently, I think my sound might be cutting out a little bit here and there. Talk slowly, so I hope it won't be an issue. Thankfully, I've got a wonderful guest today who's going to do most of the talking. So while Kutumi is having a rest, we have special guest Rupert Davis from England. Rupert is a renowned photographer, a successful businessman, a traveller who has been living hand in hand with soul for many years now. I first crossed paths with Rupert via the Crimson Circle, and it seemed we had much in common, as we had both professionals to our artists. Over the years, Rupert has become a dear friend and a constant inspiration to me. He is constantly exploring and expanding his connection with soul and allowing its immense gifts into his life. Few people articulate what he's like, but can, which is why I'm so thrilled to have him as a special guest today. So, over in England, welcome Rupert Davis. Hi, Rupert. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Marisa. It's my pleasure, and thank you for such a lovely
a lovely introduction and wonderful breathing as well. It's a bit late here on Friday night. Well, it's about 10:30. It's not too late. But I could have, if I'd really let myself go, that was so relaxing, I could have fallen asleep, which probably wouldn't have made the best interview.
I do think that it would be nice one day that we have a silent show. I remember a silent show where we just get a space and everyone's there together and you're just quiet and you're in your own little authentic space, but just there supporting each other. I don't know how successful a show that would be, but we could do that.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think it would be great.
Yeah. So once again, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. So,
just to start with, could you tell us your story as to what led you to and even know you had a soul and to be consciously choosing to live with it in your life?
Right. Where to start with that? In terms of choosing to live with a conscious connection to my soul, I feel there's a couple of things here. One is that something started to have to naturally occur for me. It was actually when I was living in Sydney, and I was, what was I then, early 30s or something like that. It was like a switch went off inside of me, and it was very noticeable. It always seems to me like the timer on an oven, or you know, a timer had just, I must have come in with this timer in me, and whether it was set off by a certain set of circumstances that it was waiting for or a period of time, it just went off. And when that happened, I started opening even more than I was before, and there was nothing I could do about it. So, and I've heard other people say similar things. So the starting to feel everything around me, starting to have an even stronger sense of intuition and knowing about things, and in particular of what choices to make, because as that grew in me, this kind of unfolding that I didn't really ask for, but that just happened, as that grew in me, I made choices that led me to strengthening that soul connection. Sorry, I'm slightly distracted because my cat is destroying something in the house. I'm sorry about that. she doesn't usually do that. She's probably brought in a mouse or something. But the well, that's life, isn't it?
Isn't it?
That'll be my adventure for later today. Find out what she's brought in. So I kept being, as this unfolding started, the choices that I felt to make were leading me further and further away from my mind. My experience was that the further I got from my mind, the closer I was to my soul. So these things started to happen, and I suppose one of the pivotal moments there, which happened shortly after I left Australia, was hearing soul say to me, "Go and buy a camera." And so the soul connection happened, I think, that way, whereby I started, opening and feeling more. It was almost like soul saying, right, now it's time, we're going to do this. This was always the plan. And then the choices that I kept sensing to make were choices that took me away from my mind and into this soul connection. And then the key thing about hearing let's go and buy a camera and me then buying it, purely because I'm sensing that that's what my soul wants to do, the key thing for me in my journey with my soul connection has been doing things with my soul. So that's how we've expanded it and kind of really brought soul into body, into life. There was the other thing that was occurring to me when you asked me the question was that, so there was that naturally occurring thing, and I suppose this is a part of that, but a noticeable part, was that I was obviously involved in the Crimson Circle and did a lot with them that was amazing. But in particular, I met Norma through the Crimson Circle. And so Norma there's a particular focus for her work is encouraging that soul connection. And so that will have been one of my choices that I sensed to make at that time, was to spend as much time as I could with her, actually, and through sessions, through going to their weekend events and then Awama School, and through what Garrett shares and through the presence of Kuan Yin, who I really started working with myself as well. Through all of that, that was an incredible and continuous encouragement and demonstration of connecting with soul.
Thank you. And you're referring to Norma Delaney, Garrett Anofsky, in case anyone wants to look them up.
I am.
So, soul part of your life, and which for you that makes it such an important part of your life?
It's interesting because I suppose I don't even really, that makes me realize that that I don't contemplate this so much anymore. Whereas initially I had so much passion for it that I would be thinking much more about why I would be choosing soul in my life. I suppose I'm saying it's become so ingrained now. But if I cast my mind a little bit back and also focus on your question about what changes have been so important. Life with soul is, for me, incomparable to life with only mind and emotions. And I suppose, most of all, the reason why soul has to be a part of my life is that's loving me, because life without soul filling me and filling my life and filling my choices, and I don't mean that soul is actually taking anything away from the human, but soul is coming in to fill the human and celebrate the human life, not to replace it. But life without that is to deny who you are and is to choose to be smaller than we are. It's to deny the incredible and very real wonder and gift of soul. And so choosing to be those things, I think one of the common things for all of us, I've heard from so many people, is this kind of sense of frustration, which is part of the fuel for the journey. This sense of frustration because we know we can actually sense our grandness and our fullness and the truth of us. And until we start experiencing that in the body and in our life through the embodiment of soul, we'll have that sense of frustration of knowing that I'm bigger than this, knowing that there's more to me, knowing that there's this incredible preciousness that's deep within me, like a kind of a radiant jewel, and so knowing that but not experiencing it is very frustrating. It's not really an option anymore for me, and I know for lots of people, not really an option to try and live without any of that. And I suppose as soon as because I sensed that all my life, and I had experiences with soul at other times in my life, it's just that I then had a lot of inauthenticity that came in between those times, but and a lot of mind, you know, more limited mind stuff. But you know, because of that, as soon as the door opened, whether that was through my own opening of feelingness that I mentioned, whether it was through the books that I then read, whether it was through breathing with Norma and attending Crimson Circle events, as soon as there was that crack in the door, because I already had that sense that was all there waiting, and that was who I am, I just filled myself up on it completely. So for me, the big link there is love of self means I can't choose to continue to suffer, and living just as the mind being is suffering. And so for me, it's kind of like saying, why do I like Christmas? Well, because there's so many gifts, and there's joy, and there's celebration, and there's colors, and there's lights, and there's, you know, and so with soul coming into life, there are gifts of healing. There's fulfillment that I never felt. There's the deepest peace. And then there's creativity, and there's humor, and there's surprise, and there's joy. And so the question really would be, why would I ever, the moment I glimpsed that, how could I keep all of that at a distance from me? And of course, I couldn't, because all the time I'm also breathing with Norma, which is encouraging me to love me. And so the two really tie together. Loving me means I can't suffer just as a limited mind being.
Yeah. And while I'm hearing you talk about that, it's also going from being the conscious creator too, isn't it?
Indeed. Indeed.
And that's a huge step. It's a huge step to take. And yeah. And yes. You talked a little about doing things with soul.
Yes.
You to expand on that a little bit more, can feel into what that's like.
Yes. So doing something with soul is doing something, it's such a pure way of doing something. And I can feel instantly the joy and the playfulness of it, because it's doing something without having a plan without having an outcome in mind. It's doing mm-hmm. something for the sake of doing it, and for the sake of doing it with soul. And so there's mm-hmm. there's this bubbling playfulness in it that is that also, because it's doing it for the sake of doing something with soul, for the sake of having an experience without any thought or intention about where that goes, or certainly on the part of the human, because of that, it also is very, keeps you very present, because there's nothing outside of the moment in which you're experiencing it. So to put that into a practical example using my photography, I would have, once I bought the camera, again, I just ran into a shop and bought it, because Sol wasn't going to leave me alone until I did. So but I didn't know what I was going to take a picture of. I didn't know when I was going to take a picture. I didn't know why I was going to take a picture. And so the joy of, because usually we like to know all those things, and they're not all bad. There's nothing wrong with knowing why you want to do something or how you want to do it. That can be really appropriate. But and that can follow in creating with soul. But at least initially, the pure playfulness of soul, I can sense that you might, that you want to do this, let's do it. Mm. And that pureness is what I didn't realize at the time. So I didn't realize so many things. So having bought the camera, I would sense to go certain places, and I would sense when to get the camera out, and I'd sense what to take the picture of. And when I say sense, I don't mean that I would labor it and go, okay, what do we do now? Or it was just something that naturally happened. And so that was how it worked with me for that. And there were so many things I didn't know at the time, because abandoning having mind control what it is we're doing and how we're going to do it and why we're going to do it meant that I found myself taking good pictures with no idea as to how I could take a good picture. And because I was just pressing the button, I wasn't trying to take a good picture. I was simply doing something with soul. So the miracle was that you can do something with soul without trying to make it good, and it could be good. Mm-hmm. And then the other miracle mm-hmm. was that in the process of just simply doing something with soul, what you're really doing is you're opening the door for soul to come into your body and into your life in real, you know, for real. And so for me, that was the becoming of a divine human. It's the divining myself process of bringing soul in, happened for me through doing things with soul. And I realized it didn't matter whether I did the washing up with soul, whether I did gardening with soul, whether I went driving with soul, whether I walked in nature with soul, whether I breathed with soul, whether I took pictures. And then the real surprise, whether I went to work in an office with soul, whether I have a relationship, it doesn't matter what it is, but it's all the same. It's all the same process and creativity and fun.
Thank you. That was beautiful. So a lot of times we kind of set up Soul's opposite wind energy, kind of is, even though we're bringing it now. But how do you tell the difference between when it's mind talk and when it's actually your soul communicating with you?
Yes. One of the ways that everything changes over, obviously over time, all of these things. Some things fall away once we've mastered them, but the one of the things that I like to do is the times when we really need to, when we feel that we need to know the difference between mind, voice, and soul, are usually choices. So when we want to make a choice or we're faced with a choice, that's when we want to, make the soul-led choice rather than the mind-led choice. Because, as I said before, we don't want to keep suffering. And one of the things that that I liked to do was I would put my hand on my tummy and I'd take a few deep breaths, and I would actually, for choices, I would actually ask myself, what's the most loving thing for me to do? And I would just take a few deep breaths, and I would deliberately kind of touch, I'd sometimes stroke my tummy. And one reason for that was because the body is a really good register for truth, and we can feel in our body. We can feel when we can feel when we contract. We can feel when we expand, and so, and for me, in my tummy, I could feel, okay, is this something that's expansive and has joy in it? So I've got choice A. That one feels expansive and has got joy in it, and I've got choice B, and in my body, if I'm breathing and I just feel how my body is registering that, I'm actually feeling a little constricted. I'm feeling, I can feel control. My hand might clench a bit, or I can just feel, I'm not feeling expanded. It's actually feeling quite dry. It's feeling a little bit control-y or just limited. And so that can be a good way. I reflect on the outcomes. So it's whatever choices we make or whatever guidance we feel we're sensing or following within ourselves, let's look at the outcome of that. And if, you know, I learned that certain voices, if that's what we want to call them, but certain things that we sense or hear, I would look back and go, boy, that wasn't the right choice, was it? That was quite clearly, I let myself get misled there. And so that, I know for future, that kind of sound and that kind of feeling around it and the way that it sounded to me, that's clearly mind. And one of the things that I notice when Soul said to me, go and buy a camera, and various other things, there is an extraordinary clarity and simplicity, and also a kind of a gentleness. It's very clear, but it's also there's a gentleness in it. And so that is a really different quality from mind voice, which is going to have a sense of obligation, because it'll often be around, you should do this. or it'll have a sense of guilt around it, or it might have shame or anger. So there could be some kind of emotional charge. And so those are some of the ways of being able to tell. But I do also like, you know, hand on stomach, breathing, and seeing how my body registers with it. And
Thank you. Which you've kind of answered the part of my next question. It's mind. At times, it can be hearing soul, and it can sometimes just be an aspect which is trying to convince us very wholeheartedly that it is a talk. And I think you've said become aware.
Sure, there are a couple of other things that I'd say on that. I did believe some aspects that basically pretended to speak for soul, and actually, I suppose one of the things that this aspect or aspects did was to really seize upon the spiritual materials, and I guess that's what religion is. The religion is the mind. And an aspect working through it, but the mind takes something that has truth and beauty and brilliance in it, and turns it into something we have to do, turns it into a set of rules. And so if we listen to the set of rules rather than the original purity of the teaching, we never get to the original intended outcome of the teachings, because we're following mind. So I noticed that my mind really leapt on everything that I read spiritually and tried to turn that into belief systems to live by. And so that was one of the things that I'd be basically hearing something that was really just a regurgitation of, it would be trying to direct me according to some kind of analysis and rules based on this spiritual material, whereas the real shift is in leaving all of that. And so I'm so thankful that I started to do things with my soul, because you don't need any beliefs if you are breathing and living in very practical ways with soul and loving self. It might sound ridiculously simple, but that can replace the aspects and the things we hear in our mind that are trying to tell us how we be spiritual, and we can just kind of ditch all that by just playing with soul and keeping playing with soul. But a couple of other thoughts on that is, we can ask soul. So we can do this with anything. It sounds obvious, but it's easy to forget. So we can say to soul, I really want to be able to differentiate, between you and mind easier.
Yeah.
Work with me on that, and not wait for an immediate, for something to happen immediately, but just then let it go, and that, because that will, soul will then start to work. She'll find ways to get your attention to establish, a bit like the way that you must have found ways to work out how and where, space-wise, to to channel how and where to hear Kusumi, well, same thing
absolutely
with the soul. Yeah. So she can help us do that. Yeah, that's it really.
Well, thank you for the reminder. The clarity. We can ask Sol to help us for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just say on that, Marisa, because it's,
yes.
I have to remember this,
yes,
as well. I forget that we really can ask Sol to help us with everything. And I don't mean by that means we give up responsibility. It's not. It's not kind of dumping stuff on Sol.
No.
But it's easy to forget that we can. I give another example. Sometimes I might know that it's in my best interest to let go of something, but perhaps I just can't. I want to. And so a great thing that I like to do is say to Sol, Sol, I really want to let this go, but I'm having problems doing that. Can you help me? And even just by doing that, it very quickly just starts to leave me. And I'm not doing the letting go there. I guess really the letting go that I'm doing there is just letting go to Sol, but not actually letting go of the thing itself directly. I'm just letting go to Sol, and Sol gently prizes it away from my grasp, whatever it is. So we can do that with anything.
I had a thought that into that space so beautiful, that question. So thank you. Sometimes lacking movement and clarity is when I will actually I'll book with Norma DeLay. And now that I talk to her, I really need and talk with my, because I'll ask a question sometimes, say, ask your soul moment. And I'm like, that is so obvious. Why didn't I do that myself? So a wonderful, she's a wonderful reminder. Before session, we're out to sort of some energy down and ask my questions first before I talk to her, and it really that beautiful place of balance. So you quite constructive with her. So thank you, and like I said, it's not about having a responsibility. It's about, soul is our infinite, limitless wisdom and love. Why would we not go to guidance and answer?
Absolutely.
Soul isn't something outside of ourselves. It's not something created to help us. Soul creates experience. So when we go to ourselves way, aren't we?
Yes. And so I'll suddenly become aware that I've been trying to do something, and I'll become aware that soul is just there, not waiting for a moment where I'll go, do you want to help me with this? And I'll suddenly realize, gosh, I didn't need to. Nothing wrong with it. We just have a laugh about it. But I'll realize that I've been really trying to, in a beautiful way, trying to do lots of stuff without accessing the fullness of that brilliance and unlimitedness. And so it's always a great moment when you remember to go to that place. Life can be easier.
Yeah. talked a lot with me. Once we choose the soul life, once we choose enlightenment, then here's a constant opportunity to expand it, explore it more. Could you maybe talk about in your day-to-day life, expanding relationship and tuning relationship?
Yes. So I think you're asking how I expand my relationship with soul. And so the way that certainly a lot of expansion happened initially was through I would invite soul, I'd invite soul into everything. So I would, as I said before, washing up, walking, breathing, doesn't matter what it is. So I was always doing that. And I only use the past tense because after you do that for enough time, that then becomes your default. Doing the expansion for me comes through the practical involvement and engagement, and creating with soul. In daily life, I also feel that, I suppose linked with that, is that expanding it. And I think a lot of the kind of the fine tuning is just something that happens. A bit like I said with the photography, that I didn't know how to take a good photo, but one happened. I think the fine tuning and happens by itself, or soul's managing that, because I don't really do anything for that. But the expanding certainly comes the more I trust soul, the more that then naturally leads me to invite soul to be a full participant in my body and in my life. And so that's the expansion kind of happens as I trust and as I invite soul into everything.
Thank you. Yes, it does. Part of the fun of being human are the constant distractions of we would call loaded with distractions. But could you just share, not necessarily just a job, but how you deal with distractions that we're finding in life?
Okay, so how do I deal with distractions in everyday life? I really like this question because I've noticed so much about this recently. It's incredible to be able to go into an environment with a lot of drama or a lot of feeding and to notice how unaffected you are by it. And I just think that's, it's amazing. So you mentioned that I work in the real world, and I do. This was actually a really, a big soul moment where she made it clear that our next step was we were going to go back and work in the business world. And which I never expected to do again, and which, from a kind of a spiritual, and I mentioned before that spirit, the mind voice that took spiritual stuff and turned it into belief systems. Well, that mind voice wasn't very happy about the idea of going and working back in business, because of course that was really unspiritual. So, but that's what that's what Saul said we were going to do, and what an incredible, I mean, what an amazing journey it has been since then. Because I was, one of the things I was worried about as soon as Saul said that, I was so worried about how will I function in those kinds of environments that can get intense, that can get that can be challenging, that can be personal, that can be very, that can require a lot from your mind as well. I mean, you have to actually do lots of practical things that your mind has to be involved in if you work in an office. And so all those things, like how was I gonna live in a more mindful, and I don't mean mindful in the Buddhist sense, but I now mean it in the opposite way, kind of in a mindful way, i.e. mind being more involved. Because it's easy for your mind not to be involved in your life if you are not participating in the detail of life. Then you can be out of your mind. And that's why most of us seem to have a period of our life where we do need to be out of our mind. And so we tend to be, that's when we'll be a bit kind of, we might even be a bit out of our bodies at those times. So that might be a period of our life where we don't work, or we're not raising a family or something like that, because we certain things need to change within us, which mean we don't want to be so mindful. But so then to go, okay, now we are going to use our minds, and we're going to go and surround ourselves in one of the biggest cities in the world, and go and work in banks. wasn't money supposed to be evil, you know, in the spiritual world? So to go and do all of that was like the opposite of what anyone would ever think. You know, but that's the amazing thing about soul voice, is that mind voice is going to give you something that's predictable and based upon some kind of rules and analysis. Soul is going to astound us by taking us places, but only step by step and breath by breath. Soul didn't tell me what was going to happen. When I know I will get to the crux of the question, but see, that I wasn't revealed to me. It was the great big plan of what I would get out of going back into business. It was just, let's do that now. And so then I went just step by step on that. But the amazing thing so I was initially worried, how will I cope with being in my mind more and with being around lots of other minds, you know? Because if you're just going to spiritual events, you're not really around a lot of other minds. Well, you are and you aren't. But the miracle for me now is to, because I've had plenty of situations, that was 5 years ago that happened with Saul, 5 or 6 actually. And I've had plenty of situations since then where I have been I've been around people who seem to love drama and create a lot of it. And I've noticed two things. One is that when you really move beyond something, and when you really integrate something, like the need or the enjoyment of drama or feeding, you literally tune yourself out of it. And so I noticed that most of the time, I wouldn't even be aware of the drama that was going on around me. And so it totally bypassed me. And the other amazing feature of that was no one came to me to involve me in it. So I wasn't, no one came to me with office gossip. No one came to me with, you know, saying this about that person. And no one would do that. And that was because it was just tuned out of me. I had no interest in it. And then the second thing that I noticed was that if I did become aware of it, I was unaffected by it. So if someone really, hasn't happened very often, just a few times, if someone really wants to try and engage me in drama, or it's not pulling on anything inside of me. So it's very frustrating for the other person, because I just remain in my center, and I don't join them in whatever game or story is going on, and that actually drives them crazy, which is also fun. So it's fun to watch someone just drive themselves crazy trying to draw you into something without it even registering. That doesn't even bother me. So they can go crazier and crazier, and that doesn't bother me. So that's the great thing about distractions. And what this really all comes down to, it comes back to trust and soul. So when soul said to me, let's go and get a regular job in a bank in a huge city, because I was living in the countryside before going to spiritual workshops. And when she said that, I said to her, I'm worried about all these things. I'm worried about going into a city. I'm worried about, and then she was very clear with me how can I put it? I was completely reassured by that. I felt so much love and so much, I don't want to use the word protection because it wasn't quite like that, but in a way it was. It was so much of soul embracing me and saying, don't worry, it's not going to be like it has been before, that I was able to take each step and put myself in the midst of distractions because I kept listening to soul. If I did that and I listened to mind at any stage, let's say I woke up and suddenly just for some reason listened to mind that day, I'd have a bad day. And that's kind of an indication of what I might be listening to. Not to say that everyday listening with soul means you also can't have a challenging day, because that's the nature of Earth life, that there are challenges, but it all comes back to the same thing of trusting with soul and walking with soul, not running ahead, which we can do, and then we soon realize and we come back, and to walking with soul, and then not listening to that mind voice again. Because if we do that, if we're walking with soul at whatever pace, Soul's always going to go at the pace that we can actually handle. And so if we're doing that, we can never be bothered by anything around us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get led astray sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, for me, one of the greatest gifts is trust. And a little bit about how trust has changed for you and now living with.
Sure. I'm pretty sure that you were saying that you, because it's cracking up a bit. But I'm pretty sure that you were saying that one of the greatest gifts for you is, one of the greatest gifts of soul is trust, and therefore how is that kind of, what's that like for me, and how has trust changed? I would
yes.
It's really interesting. I suppose in terms of how trust has changed for me with soul, I would say that it's gone from me really trusting soul to soul really trusting me. And because when I was jumping off a cliff and leaving my job and doing these wild things, and when I was traveling around and taking pictures with soul, and then when I went back into business with soul and everything, I was having to really trust soul with all of those choices. And there are things now that I have to that I need to trust soul with, but the emphasis has changed. With I noticed, in actual fact, there was a moment when soul said to me how much she trusted me, because all my focus was on was on me choosing soul and me trusting soul, and so to as soon as I suppose that it was almost like an that kind of trust and faith in soul was very intense for me, and it's just that it's transformed into something much more gentle for me. And also the shift of soul really saying to me, I trust you, the human. And so for the human to know that, and to, because you see, soul needs the human to be the leader, to be the leader of this combined unit of human and soul. And that's the real brilliance and capability of all of us that came in. Instead of being our past lives, we kind of an aspect around those, but this, the being that's come into this lifetime, is a being that's capable of leading the divine human. And that being is me here now, you there now, the people that are listening, them now, are the leaders of soul and human. And so to feel, to come to know that soul is saying, I trust you to be the leader of us. And of course, she's leading with you, but she's really trusting us to be the leader of the divine human. So I suppose it's also, I suppose the sense I get from it is how much soul believes in us and how amazing she considers the human journey and the human being to be. If you like, we could, I know that we're coming up on time, so if we've got time, I could do a couple of minutes breathing, but only if we have time, I don't know.
We have plenty of time, you take all you would like.
Okay, so if people would like, then we can breathe with soul and explore this topic of trust, and breathing in through the nose and feeling our tummy expand, rising like a happy balloon, rising like a happy balloon, and breathing out through the nose also, letting the balloon deflate, let go of the breath. And then breathing in through the nose and filling the tummy again in a natural rhythm, but also with the clarity of making sure that tummy is filling. Rising and falling. and relaxing into wherever we are, letting the stress, letting however we're holding our body just release, letting our body release, and choosing to stay conscious within it. So choosing to stay awake and alert, yet breathing, yet relaxing, letting the spine soften, my neck soften, and keeping breathing and inviting soul to breathe with us. She won't miss the invitation. We can simply allow, just let soul to join us, breath by breath, breath by breath. Each breath she'll join us more and more fully in each breath that we take in and in each breath that we release. Letting soul fill you with her trust for you. Soul trusts us so much. Let yourself feel the trust that soul has in you, the love, the wonder. She's in awe of you. Soul is in awe of the human and wants nothing more than to celebrate you, fill you, love you, and trust you. Trust you so much that soul will sink into you. Soul will let go. Soul will even surrender into you. For she trusts you. She trusts you to lead you, soul, human, the all that you are, soul trusts. Soul trusts you as the leader of all that you are, trusts you, loves you, is in awe of you. Let yourself feel that. She knows that you'll lead the allness of you to where you both want to go together. Letting soul sink into you because she trusts you. Soul doesn't need to stay on the outside as she trusts you so completely. She can let go and sink into you. Her perfect creation. That's how she sees you. A perfect creation, who she trusts, leading together, breathing together, trusting together. Creating together. Step by step. And breath by breath, without force, knowing that step by step, you can live together. And it is nice to have some peace, as you mentioned at the beginning, Marisa. Yes, so we can, as we all know, we can breathe with soul just like this anytime we want. Yeah. Well, I feel very relaxed and ready for bed now.
Thank you so much. I'm myself hasn't been today, but thank the gods yours was. could you let people know how and find connect with you?
Oh, of course. And okay.
Book, where can they
cracking up you? Sure. Yes. So how to kind of connect with me, my photography is obviously a big thing that I do with soul, and I just came back from an amazing trip in Norway and have some great pictures from there actually as well. And they are, you can see them in two places. So one is that on Facebook, I have a Facebook page called New Earth Photography by Rupert Davis. And if you search for that on Facebook, you'll find that. And so that's a great place to see pictures as soon as they come out. And there's also my website, which is www.newearthphotography.com. And then I also have a Facebook page. Occasionally I do things like this interview, or I might even run a workshop or speak somewhere. And that you can find on my Authentic Creativity. My cat's causing problems again. Authentic Creativity. By Rupert Davis Facebook page. Do you know what it is? I left a cupboard open when I was getting ready for this call. I left the cupboard open, which this particular phone set is in. So she's gone into the cupboard, which she never gets into, and has been pulling things out. So that's another.
I love that.
Yeah, don't leave cupboards open for cats. So there's a bang happening behind me, and that's because she's pulled something out of the cupboard. So it was those ways of getting in touch with me. Was there anything you wanted me to say for you, Marisa? I know that you, for example, you have a...
Have you got the rest of it?
Well, I know that you've got a second tour in India, haven't you? And is it January the 29th? Yeah, so January 29th to February the 6th, I think that one is, 2016. That's the second India tour. And presumably, people go to your website, which is newenergywriting.com. And I also, okay, you want to run one later in February in 2016 as well. So I'm sure that you'll have information on that on your website as soon as you have it. And I know that you're also still, you've got one of your soul schools running at the moment, and which people could join in with if they wanted to. And they could find out more about that on your website as well.
Thank you so much.
That's okay.
Thank you so much.
And I do also
for
know
joining
you. I know from Facebook that you've almost finished. Well, you have finished your next book, which is the Lifetime of St. Francis of Assisi. But people can find out about that if they sign up for your newsletter on the website.
Yes, so much.
You're welcome. It was a real pleasure to come and share here. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in. I am apologizing for my sound, although you can't hear me apologizing properly. Me will be next month. We'll be doing Monday, September the 3rd. So, thank you all for a God and a God, and I love you dearly. Being month, everyone must stay.